Welcome to another edition of Here's an Idea podcast. I'm Sherry Trigg, editor and director of content for Medical Design Briefs. Here's an Idea is a podcast presented by the editors of SAE Media Group that showcases today's most innovative technologies. So today we're going to talk about wound care. Rapid and effective control of bleeding can be the difference between life and death in surgery, on the battlefield, and in emergency situations. Excessive bleeding can lead to a rapid drop in blood volume, which can be fatal if not addressed promptly. By stopping bleeding quickly, medical personnel can prevent shock and increase chances of survival. Today, I'm talking with Joe Landolina, CEO and co-founder of Cresilon. The company recently received a 510K clearance for a hemostatic that is designed to transform wound care. He's going to share some insights into the story behind that technology. Joe, let's start by talking about how you created the plant-based gel and how it's made.
Definitely. And Sherry, thank you so much for having me on today. So just to start, I'm a chemical engineer by training. I was very lucky to have gotten an unusually early start into lab research. My grandfather was an executive at Hoffmann La Roche, and when he retired from Roche, he ended up starting a vineyard. And so I had a chemistry lab associated with that vineyard across the street from my house. And so the day that I learned how to walk effectively, I was in a lab with my grandfather, and he learned lab safety in the 60s. And so that meant that I was able to just sort of go around the lab and learn by doing, which is very inadvisable. And so my parents were admittedly not too thrilled with that method. And so they suggested that I go learn how to do lab research in an academic setting. And so when I was about 14 years old, I did a summer research program at Columbia University in tissue engineering. And that started a lifelong journey in looking at smart biomaterials. And so by the time that I was 17, I had run this experiment out of algae that didn't do exactly what I was intending it to do. I wanted to make cartilage, but instead of making cartilage, I came up with the precursor to the technology that we have today, which is a blend of two polysaccharides, or long chains of sugar, that come out of algae that instantly stop bleeding on contact, whether you're talking massive bullet wounds all the way down to high precision areas like spine surgery or brain surgery and everything in between.
That's a fascinating start to the technology, and certainly a path that you were very lucky, I think, to have gotten to take. So you got to this point. How is this different from other hemostatic agents that are available?
Sure. So the major difference between our technology and what is currently existing is the instantaneous effect that we have. And the way that that comes about, in order to understand that, we have to understand a little bit more about how other hemostatic technologies work. And so on one hand, there is what we call the mechanical hemostatic devices. And so these are things like sponges or gauzes, and what we lovingly call in New York pressure and a prayer, right? It's something that absorbs the blood and allows you to hold pressure on the bleed long enough to be able to allow the patient to create a clot. And the simplest example is if one of us cuts ourselves shaving and we put some toilet paper on the bleed, that bleed will stop in about 5 to 7 minutes. But if you rip that toilet paper off at any point, because the clot that forms is incorporated within that toilet paper, the clot comes off with it, and now you're bleeding again. And that's one of the challenges with these types of slow, archaic, mechanical type hemostatics. And then the second generation of hemostatics are drug-containing hemostatics. These are products that have things like fibrin or thrombin in them, with the goal of activating the clotting cascade strongly to allow the patient to produce fibrin in a drug-like way. And the challenge with that is even if you have the best clotting agent, these products need to be kept in perfect contact with the source of bleeding. Otherwise, your best clot that forms will just be washed away along with all the other blood that's coming out. And on top of that, these materials tend to be expensive. They tend to require preparation time. And so they come frozen. It can take up to 3 minutes to get these products stopped. And they also contain animal derived material, which can have negative effects for the patient. And so what Cresilon does is we marry the two of these concepts. So the first of which is that we have a gel that is flowable, meaning you can deliver it exactly where it needs to go. And it instantly rebuilds a mechanical barrier. So just like you've been holding pressure on a piece of gauze, the gel does that for you. It will build up a structure at the microscopic level to stop the flow of bleeding. But then most importantly, it allows the patient to produce their own blood clot without becoming incorporated with that clot. So if the gel goes away or it gets peeled off, that clot stays underneath. And so it allows for a much more rapid achievement of hemostasis with a much longer durability of hemostasis, meaning that if the patient moves or you have to load that patient onto a helicopter to get to the next level of care, the vibrations will not shear open the clots, which is something that's a major risk.
Oh, wow. So is there a difference from how it works on, say, an internal wound that a surgeon is doing versus an external cut or wound?
So not really. And that's a testament to the simplicity of this type of smart biomaterial, in that we haven't over-engineered anything. It's just effectively two sugars and water. And so the effect is dependent on whatever you put it onto. And so if you put it onto a spinal bleed, and in fact, my team, I was just talking to them that they were doing a handful of spine surgeries this morning, where you need very strong precision. It needs to go only where you want it to go, and it needs to fit into all of the nooks and crannies of a tight space. It will work perfectly there. But then if you're treating a gunshot wound, you need a slightly different approach. It needs to be able to handle much higher pressures and fill a larger volume. And you can do that as well. And so the product is highly responsive to a wide range of types of injuries and areas.
So the life-saving implications, just by some of the examples you've been giving me, for first responders, for surgeons, it sounds like it could make a huge difference.
Definitely. I mean, in fact, our first product, Metagel, which is a veterinary hemostatic device. So anytime that a pet goes in for surgery, it's likely a product like Metagel is being used. And we've had over 45,000 lives saved with Metagel globally. And so it's likely even over the course of this podcast, one of our products will be used at the very least to save a pet's life. And what we're looking forward to with this recent FDA clearance and with future clearances, including on TraumaGel, which is our major bleeding military and emergency medicine product upcoming, being able to save our first human life in the short term.
So that leads me to something I wanted to ask you about. I understand that you have a cooperative research and development agreement with Walter Reed Army Institute of Research. So for, I'm assuming, you know, use on the battlefield, but can you tell us what that might entail?
So the Walter Reed CRADA is incredibly interesting because it actually doesn't pertain to hemostasis, at least primarily pertain to hemostasis. What Walter Reed is looking at is a specific class of injury called penetrating ballistic leg brain injury. And so this is an injury where a patient has either been shot in the head or has a piece of shrapnel or some other foreign material that has penetrated the skull and entered the brain. And currently today, there is no standard of care for treatment of these types of injuries. And so the risk to the patient is not bleeding. It's actually not even necessarily the initial injury to my level of understanding, but it's what happens to the brain after that injury. And the brain will swell and potentially collapse. And that can be deadly to the patient or is likely deadly to the patient. And so what the Walter Reed CRADA is looking at is, can Cresilon's gel be used not only as a hemostatic in that type of injury, but also as a neuroprotective, effectively to protect the brain and to normalize the vital signs of the brain in order to get that patient to the next level of care. And so The results that we've been seeing so far are incredibly promising and incredibly exciting. And at least for me, after 13 years of developing this technology, it's really amazing to be able to see it have an impact outside of just the primary indication space that we've been working on. And so we're looking forward to more results coming out from Walter Reed and hopefully being able to do something that can expand the way that we save lives.
Wow, that is exciting. And to think that you can have an impact on something that isn't really hasn't been treatable is amazing. So let's go back and talk about this FDA 510K that you got in June for the hemostatic gel. What does that mean for the company and where do you go from here?
Definitely. So the FDA clearance of CHG is really just the first step in a series of FDA submissions that Cresilon plans on doing, or in some cases has already done. So CHG is indicated for minor bleeding, but most importantly, CHG itself is exactly the same gel, exactly the same applicator and packaging as Fetagel, our already commercial animal health product. And so what it allows us to do was bridge the animal health market with the human market by establishing safety in a platform that we can then use as a predicate device. And so we received clearance on the 28th of June for CHG. And while Cresilon may bring CHG to market in some form, the primary reason for the clearance of CHG was really to leapfrog our way into the next indication, which is Tramadol. And so we filed Tramadol 2 days later on June 30th of this year. And Tramadol is a much larger format syringe. It's a 30 milliliter syringe that is intended to treat things like bullet wounds, stabbings, major motor vehicle accidents, effectively any point of care, life-threatening type bleeding. And we've been going through the process of FDA review and assuming that if and when the agency gives clearance or grants clearance to Tramadol, we'll be able to move that into use both with civilian use for emergency medicine use, as well as defense use for the U.S. Armed Forces.
And so do you have an anticipated date at all from FDA, or this too early in the process?
So I've learned that it's not very helpful for me to try to hypothesize when the agency will be able to clear a device, but at least suffice it to say that we intend to launch next year.
Excellent. Do you have any further insights that you would like to share with our audience?
Frankly, I think we've done a good job of covering a number of things, but I thank you so much for having me on. It was a pleasure discussing everything.
Well, Joe, thank you for joining us for the podcast and for sharing your advances in this incredible technology with our listeners. If you'd like to provide feedback on this episode or suggest future guests, please email me at sherry.trigg@saemediagroup.com. You can listen to this podcast at medicaldesignbriefs.com/podcast or on your favorite podcast app such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Thank you for listening and watch for more coverage of exciting new technologies on Here's an Idea.